The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the show, continuing our discussion on all things COVID with a focus on economic impacts. Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, point person for the administration in negotiations with We Feed Them Speaker Pelosi, took to CNBC this morning and said this about the impasse between the White House and the Speaker on the size and composition of the next COVID relief legislation.
We had proposed a bipartisan bill that has support both in the Senate and in the House to go forward with testing. But quite frankly, when I speak to Pelosi today, I'm going to tell her that we're not going to let the testing issue stand in the way, that we'll fundamentally agree with their testing language subject to some minor issues. This issue is being overblown. We need to get money to the American public now, the people that are most hurting.
Mm-hmm. Language over a national testing strategy is how it's described. Additionally, President Trump suggesting he was open-minded on going above the $1.8 trillion that is on the table with Pelosi. I don't know if that includes, at this juncture, giving in to some of the bailouts of mismanaged states that Pelosi wants or what else that would entail. But that's the state of play. For more on this, we're pleased to be joined again by our friend Don Boudreau, who's an American economist, author, professor, co-director of the program on the American economy and globalization at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Don, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
So $1.8 trillion, what's a few more hundred billion dollars between friends at this juncture? But Mnuchin's point, we need to get another $1,200 check in the hands of the American people. This is what COVID relief looks like. What does that sound like to you?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm not impressed by President Trump's vaunted bargaining skills. It seems like Pelosi's getting everything she wants with the side of reasonableness, giving in and getting nothing. So look, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You can write as many checks as you like. The problem now is not the fact that people don't have money. The problem is that people aren't working. They aren't producing things. The economy is still strapped down and hamstrung and constantly under the threat of further lockdowns. And this talk about giving checks, it's a drug. It's a narcotic that makes people think, okay, everything's going to be all right. But the real problem is getting the economy going back and getting people back to work, getting restaurants back, returning to a sane state of social and economic existence, which we are not in because the irrational fear of COVID, fear stoked by the media and by politicians, is a giant poison that is keeping the economy in a straitjacket, and no amount of checks are going to fix that.
Oh, right, because you have other things, other ugliness starting to present itself. Wall Street Journal reporting this week, three buildings on Madison Avenue's main retail corridor have sold for about 80% below peak sales price in 2014, signaling that depressed Manhattan retail real estate prices continue to tumble. Well, no surprise if you don't have customers that retail space is going to be less attractive significantly. People aren't coming out of their homes. That's a problem. And so the coming commercial real estate crash, that's not going to be solved with $1,200 per person.
No, it's not going to be solved with $1,200 per person. It's not going to be solved with $12,000 per person. First of all, Congress doesn't make wealth. Congress can only, all the checks Congress sends out These are claims on stuff that other Americans make. And if other Americans aren't making stuff, then these claims are worth a lot less than they look to be on paper. The fear I have is that all this discussion about, you know, stimulus this, stimulus that, again, I think it's a diversion from the true problem. And at some point, no amount of people will realize that getting another check isn't going to solve anything. At some point, we have to return to normalcy. And I'm really upset that I see so little effort in among, you know, policymakers to try to get us back to normalcy. They're talking about stimulus. They're talking about just keeping things hidden behind the stimulus.
Yes, right. And I want to get to that phrase you used, irrational fear. We'll explore that, particularly in the context of Andrew Cuomo's recently unearthed comments. Right after this, we'll be back with Don Boudreau, American economist, co-director of the program on the American economy and globalization at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University.
I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the right words to say. Promise. I know they don't sound the way I planned them to be. Promise. But if you wait around a while, I'll make you fall for me. Promise. I promise you.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the Dan Proft Show. Leaked audio from a conference call between New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and Jewish leaders from last week. Andrew Cuomo, America's governor, to hear the D.C. press corps tell the story, despite, of course, the greatest number of deaths of any state in the country by a wide margin occurring in New York State. During a response on the conference call to a question about why schools needed to be closed completely, new restrictions on businesses, schools, houses of worship in significant Jewish neighborhoods in Queens and Brooklyn that led to the protests. In response to those inquiries from Jewish residents of New York, Andrew Cuomo said this.
Rabbi, I'll ask, let me make a comment and let us Dr. Zucker. I don't disagree with you. And look, I'm 100% frank and candid. This is not a highly nuanced, sophisticated response. This is a fear-driven response. You know, this is not a policy being written by a scalpel. This is a policy being cut by a hatchet. It's just a very blunt. I didn't propose this, you know. It was proposed by the mayor in the city. I'm trying to sharpen it and make it better. But it's out of fear. People see the numbers going up. Close everything. Close everything. It's not the best way to do it, but it is a fear-driven response. The virus scares people. Hopefully, we get the numbers down in the zip codes, the anxiety comes down, and then we can have a smarter, more tailored approach.
For more on this, we're pleased to be joined back by Don Boudreau, American economist, author, professor, co-director of the program on the American economy and globalization at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. You see, Don, a little authoritarianism to deal with the fear that we've engendered, and then we can be reasonable and smart with respect to surgical public policy.
Yeah, I was shocked to hear that coming from Cuomo, who has done more to engender fear than Cuomo, as I read it. So I like a phrase that Wall Street Journal columnist Holden Jenkins used recently. He calls 2020 the year of living derangedly.
Yes.
And I think that's what we're in. We are humanity has become deranged, and the reaction to COVID is off the charts, nuts. An example I use, a metaphor I use, is something I recently wrote. I said, you know, it's like a hornet and a honeybee. Well, okay, you don't want to get stung by either one. A hornet is, of course, worse than getting stung by a honeybee. But it still doesn't mean that, you know, you tear down your house and you torch the whole town just to kill the hornet. You deal with it in a more reasonable way. You don't think of the hornet is not a fire-breathing dragon. It's not an existential threat. It's an unusually big bee. And that's what COVID is. It is not the existential threat that people keep making it out to be. But politicians, a lot of the people in the mainstream media, they report it as if this is like some extraterrestrial, unknown, categorically different threat that we in humanity are under. And so who can blame a lot of people for responding as they do, given much of what Cuomo himself does, much what they hear on CNN, the New York Times, I don't know how it is in Chicago, but the New York Times, the Washington Post here is frantic about COVID. It's just insane. And if I sound frustrated, I am, because it's hard to deal with this insanity.
Well, they've spawned a whole sort of hobby industry of COVID enthusiasts, politicians, as well as the minders of others that are just your everyday citizens who are here to regulate your life for you when it comes to mask wearing or social distancing or any other aspect of life in COVID culture. It really is. And I don't know what breaks the fever, to, you know, extend a metaphor. Yeah. I don't know what breaks the fever.
A few months ago, I thought, okay, we'll wake up and people should be getting tired of this and we should see the derangement starting to decline. But I got to say, Dan, I don't see the derangement going away anytime soon. I mean, I don't, you know, maybe after the election in 3 weeks, maybe on, you know, that Wednesday morning after, suddenly it's the fever starts to break. But I don't know. I mean, people have just become... It's taken on a life of its own. This fear has taken on a life of its own. And I am no great fan of FDR, but I will say, yes, he's never said anything more true than the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And that has never been more true than it is right now.
You wrote a piece over at American Institute for Economic Research.
Economic Research.
Yeah. That COVID is not categorically different. Again, the survival rates, it's amazing to me, something where you're supposed to be in a life and death battle and there's so little attention paid to survival rates because the reporting of every COVID infection has the tenor of a death sentence. And basically what we know from the CDC is under the age of 70, the survival rate is 99.5% or better.
Yeah. Yeah. Under the age of 50, you have a greater chance of dying from the flu than you do of COVID. So the bulk of our society is at a greater risk of dying if they get the flu than they stand to die of COVID if they get COVID. But these kinds of statistics are not reported. We get these breathless reports of, you know, cases are going up and with very little said about, you know, the testing is going up. What you're going to get, of course, you're going to get a larger number of cases when you have more testing. A lot of these tests have terrible rates of false positives. It's just so weird. I mean, we play sporting events without fans. We have these eerie cardboard cutouts, and this is all done in the name of saving a handful of lives, mostly of very old people. I know it sounds cruel. But there's no way what we're doing comes close to passing a cost benefit test. It's just madness.
Don Boudreau, American economist, author, professor, co-director of the program on the American economy and globalization at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Don Boudreau, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Listening to The Dan Proft Show on the Salem Radio Network.